You're listening to MoneyWeb at Midday.
Following the sudden passing of Tito Mboweni, South Africa's former finance minister and governor of the Reserve Bank, tributes continue to stream in from several quarters. Let's begin our coverage with Colin Coleman, Columbia Business School adjunct professor and former Goldman Sachs Sub-Saharan Africa chief executive officer. And Colin, Tito Mboweni had a long-standing relationship with the business community. So how did his policies foster or challenge the business environment in this country?
Thanks, Jeremy. Good to be on your show. I think you've got to put it in context of the tremendous transition that South Africa has gone through in his career. I met him first in 1987. Obviously, the policy of the ANC then was led by the Freedom Charter statements on nationalization, and he was very engaged with business. I was an official of the Consultative Business Movement, which is a leading group of business people engaged at that very difficult and challenging time in talking about a future post-apartheid economy. And at that stage, Tito himself was going through his transition from point of view on nationalization to a mixed economy with a focus more on the market economy. And business had to be, you know, positively and constructively engaged in that process and encouraging the move towards a market-based mixed economy. And as his progression through the negotiations into the Mandela cabinet, and then later on as finance minister and governor of the Reserve Central Bank, that transition in his thinking continued, and he was always pulling business along with him, and he was in essence the godfather of ANC economic policy. So in that capacity, he was leading the dialogue with business, who were engaged right throughout that 35-year period in thinking through what the optimal economic mix was.
Colin, that transition that he was making, or that road to change in terms of economic thinking, did you get a sense that it was difficult for him to do that?
Yeah, you know, I think it was difficult for everyone, difficult for the country to come to terms with its structural legacies, the inequality, unemployment, as you know, the economy started to, both from a monetary and a fiscal point of view, do well from 94 until 2007. We had the double whammy of Polokwane and the global financial crisis. But in that process, we were adding jobs. You know, the unemployment rate was coming down to 23%. And then post that, we saw the Zuma era lose significant currency and momentum, with effectively growth being trapped at around 1% in the post 2008 period until now, and with it, unemployment soaring to its current expanded rate of 42%, which is extraordinarily difficult. So I think he was having to deal in his capacity as a central bank governor with, you know, arresting inflation while at the same time keeping the economy going, and in his capacity as Minister of Finance, really probing into the question of what the binding constraints on the economy were and removing those constraints through structural reforms, which he was always pushing his colleagues and asking the business community for patience and support. But he had a big struggle to bring his colleagues along with him through a disciplined fiscal management process and the independence of monetary policy, which was a huge struggle. So nothing was easy, but then, you know, people who brought into great roles of leadership have to deal with those kind of challenges.
Colin, he was also known for advocating pro-business reforms while also addressing inequality. That was a central tenet of his philosophy. Difficult to balance the needs of the private sector with those socioeconomic imperatives.
Yeah, you know, his colleague Pravin Gordhan, who tragically, and I must say it's a bit like a double hammer blow to me, two of my best and closest friends, Pravin and Tito, dying within a month of each other. I'm sort of reeling along with the country and sending my condolences to the family and the friends, and it's in essence the country as we mourn the loss of these two people. But Pravin was the person who coined the term inclusive growth. I guess Tito and Pravin had their own differences, but they were bound by the search for economic growth and for inclusive growth that brought the unemployed in. So it was very, very difficult because Tito had a, you know, golden touch with the private sector. He was very much able to engage, and he had a deep respect, the deep respect of business. But at the same time, the circumstances were enormously challenging. You know, the combination of state capture, you know, very tight monetary conditions, and a narrowing fiscal space created a very difficult combination or a trifecta of circumstances.
You talk about that golden touch. He, after the Reserve Bank and after his stint in politics, then joined the boards of several organizations. What impact did his tenure there have on corporate governance and strategy in this country, do you think?
Well, just to say, I brought him in when I was CEO of Goldman Sachs for my 20-year career there. I brought him in post his retirement from the central bank and prior to the finance ministry. I brought him in as an international advisor at Goldman Sachs. He had an office there. And, you know, I think that it was a very good moment for him to engage with these issues of governance and so on. But he was very serious intellectual, very serious about governance issues in the private sector and in the public sector. You know, he joined the Discovery Board. I must, as an aside, say, Jeremy, you know, he had a huge impact on the global central banking community. You know, I know that Alan Greenspan, Ben Bernanke, you know, a bunch of the most eminent central bankers had huge respect for the governor, as we used to call him. And in the international community, certainly in the Goldman Sachs environment, you know, he had a very strong interaction with global investors. He was very widely respected and seen as a sort of model central banker. So I think, you know, in that capacity, he could only do good with his golden touch in business.
And I certainly remember from my perspective, if one were to interview him, you had to have done your work, your background research, and you had to bring your A game with you, because he certainly didn't suffer fools. He enjoyed a robust tussle. I'm assuming, Colin Coleman, that was much the same in the boardroom.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. You know, didn't suffer fools gladly. He was very exacting. He was an extremely colorful personality, you know, full of smokes and mirrors. Always used to say, you know, his best job he could ever dream of would be to be the ambassador of South Africa to the Court of St. James. And he had this sort of strange love-hate relationship with the British Empire. But you know, in the boardroom, I think he would, you know, he would listen very carefully and intervene occasionally. I also know from my colleagues close in the National Executive Committee of the ANC, which he was part of for a long, long time, you know, they were often frustrated that, you know, in the years of Zuma and state capture, he would keep quiet. He was not somebody who liked factional politics at all. So he was very selective in his intervention. So whether it was the ANC, the government, the cabinet, or in the boardrooms, you know, he was selective in leaning in and making his points.
Colin Coleman, thank you very much indeed.